Timothy, chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. I do want you to be thinking right now about something you're thankful for. We'll have a little testimony service at the end of this. And so you might be thinking along those lines as we get into the message tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. I said 2 Timothy. Continue over there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3. Somewhere in the New Testament. Keep on looking. I told you I was going to preach on prophecy tonight. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to read a verse talking about the end times. And we'll start that prophecy messages next Wednesday night. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, and boy, are these not just so predominant today. We see this. This know also, verse 1 now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're in those days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. Notice the list that unthankful is in with. False accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. We think again there in verse 2, says these men, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. In the last days, and we are in those last days, there is no doubt at all in my mind that we're there. We're living in days just before the rapture is going to take place, and I believe it could happen any time. We know that. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to the day. I wish it could be today. That'd be fine with me. I know it'd be fine with you as well. And So Paul just says, hey, here is some description. Here is a description of what will be taking place in the end times. And we're there. There's no doubt. And again, along with all those, that terrible list of things that we know is prevalent today, in amongst all those things is unthankful. Unthankful. We think about that. Unthankful basically just means ungrateful. Just trying to describe that. It means non-appreciative. Non-appreciative. Boy, doesn't that describe most people in the United States of America today? It absolutely does. In fact, I would tell you that all of us have a hint of that in this auditorium tonight. Unthankful. And again, as we think about Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving holiday, the time set aside to remember what God has done for America. And that's left out of a lot of schools, most schools. But thankful for what God has done for us. Thankfulness. Being thankful. From a very early age, we teach our children, or at least most of us do, hopefully all of us should, we teach our kids to say thank you. And even when they don't want to, we tell them, say thank you. And when they're real small, you know, you say thank you. I'm going to apply the Board of Education, the seat of understanding. You say thank you. And I don't like it when adults will say, oh, that's okay. No, don't do that. Stand there until they say thank you. If they don't, whop them upside the head or something. Now I'm being silly. Don't whop a kid upside the head. But kids are naturally, we all are naturally unselfish. I mean, unthankful. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the ingraining of our parents that enables us. To be thankful. And also, experience helps us to be thankful. I don't know about you, but you know, going up to the hospital today does something to me. It hurts me. It burdens my heart. And in a way, I had to step back and say, Lord, thank you. I thank you for what you've done in my life, and I thank you for what you're doing in Miss Urban's life. Because I see family around there that is not out of control. I see family around there that has some peace and comfort about themselves. I see Miss Irvin, who has just a great attitude, and it's amazing. God, only God can do that. Thankfulness, being thankful. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this every Thanksgiving, but it's such a wonderful verse. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Again, it's very easy for us many times to give thanks for the good things, but it's many times hard for us to give thanks for the bad things as well. We're to give thanks in all things. You say, preacher, that really doesn't mean that. It means what it says. It means exactly what it says. I used that illustration last year, and I think every year, the two songs. We sang one of them tonight. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And it's easy to count your blessings. But then there's that other song that I learned when I was a kid. Lord, I thank you for the valley I walk through today. The longer the valley, the more I learn to pray. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun doesn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. Goes on. Prayed till I knew everything was all right. And I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Can you be thankful for the valley as well? That's what it's saying, giving thanks for all things. All things. You say, well, preacher, you're saying I'm to be thankful for my family and all the great things God has given, but also be thankful for the things that come into my life, the discouragement, and these things, and maybe not discouragement, that's not the right word, but I'm thankful for the tests and the trials that God sends my way. That's what the Bible says. I had a long conversation with someone here recently about testing and trials. And if you truly believe and are thankful to God, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 makes all the sense in the world. That God works all things together for good to them who are called according to purpose, those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God works everything to our good. So that means He works the bad things for our good and He works the good things for our good. Everything's worked for our good. And that He might conform us, as verse 29 says, to the image of Jesus Christ. And so Ephesians 5:20, that I'm to be thankful in all things. I'm so thankful tonight that God cares for me. I'm thankful tonight that God cares for you. I think about Him as the shepherd when David said in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him? Why does God even think about me? But He does. He absolutely does. God thinks about us. God is not very far from any of us. Acts chapter 17. You think about David there on the hillside watching over the sheep. And he uses that illustration for us in Psalm 23 and other places, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. All those things, that God is our shepherd. Can I tell you tonight that God is your shepherd? Aren't you glad? Aren't we thankful that God didn't just create the world and wind it up like a clock and throw it into outer space? But that God intervenes, that God is there for us on a daily basis. God is there for us on a minute and hourly basis because He cares for us. You know, I told someone here recently, I said, that doesn't mean that God made you fall down the stairs. I mean, you're the one that tripped. You know what I'm saying? But God is actively involved in our lives. And everything that comes into our life, God is actively involved in that. You say, preacher, He don't have time to do all that. He's God. He can do anything. Time is nothing to Him. You say, He's actively involved in my life and the guy next to me and the lady next to me. And I mean, He is there every step of the way. He's there. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. That's what He promised. And Hebrews says He doesn't lie. Because if He lied, He would not be God. So when He promises to never leave us nor forsake us, it's exactly what He means. It means what He says. And so He is there. He is there actively involved in my life. He is my shepherd. What a wonderful illustration. We think about the shepherd tending the flock. You know, we think about the shepherd providing the water, leading them to water. We think about the shepherd leading them to grass. We think about the shepherd binding up the wounds. We think about the shepherd, all the things, I mean, just that He supplies and gives and tends His flock. That's what God does for us. And we can't proceed without thinking about that God knows everything about us. And therefore He loves everything. Listen, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. And He knows so much about us that Luke says He knows the number of hairs on our head. And I would make a joke here, but I won't. But God knows everything about you. So don't think for a moment, don't think for a second that God would ever forsake you. And don't for a moment become ungrateful for what He's done in your life and in mine. I haven't been able to take many mission trips and hope to do some more in the near future. But the first time I went to Mexico and flew into Monterrey, Mexico, I've told this story many times, but I like the story. Flew into Monterrey, that big airport, and we were leaving the airport, got in a taxi, or someone had picked us up, and we came around and came down one of the main highways, and down that main highway, right beside the main highway, was a river with no water in it, but it's a river. And in that river and on the sides of that river was thousands and thousands of cardboard boxes that were homes for people. As we knocked doors, I've been to Mexico 3 times, as we knocked doors in some of those areas where there's no door on the home, you know. And we think about all those. Listen, we need to be grateful just for being born in the United States of America. Our poor are rich. Our government needs to learn that. We need to be thankful. I do believe it's good for us to be exposed to other people's pain, if you would. As of today, going to see Miss Urban, it kind of, again, wakes you up and says, you know what? Time is short. If you look back there in Ephesians chapter 5, if you're still there, it says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let us be reminded that we better take care of the time God's given us, because we don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. I tell you, we need to be thankful for the time God's given us. I'm so thankful that God is my shepherd. I'm thankful that He has said in Philippians 4:19 that He will supply all my needs. I think about the verses that we many times just repeat over and over again. But in Matthew chapter 6, He says that He will take care of us. Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 says, at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Again, just a reminder, God said He'd take care of the sparrow, take care of the flowers, take care of the field. He'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about what you're going to put on tomorrow. God's going to take care of that. I think about Thanksgiving as we sit down with the Crawford family and we will gather at the old farmhouse. And for years we've been having Thanksgiving up there, and there'll be more food on that table. Unbelievable. Dad's cooking two turkeys this year, not just one. And now we've gotten into cooking these things in the grease, you know what I'm saying? Boy, they're good. Think about all the food that will be spread out. You know what? God takes care of us. God supplies our need. When He said He'd supply our needs, He promised to supply our physical needs. And can I tell you, if you were without a job tonight or in a bind or whatever the case is, God said He'll take care of you. By the way, He said, taking thought or trying to add to your stature, you can't do it. In other words, you can't do nothing about it. Only God sees what lies beyond the bend. Maybe we ought to just rely upon Him. I cannot go past that little song I learned when I was a kid, "Why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay." Well, we need to rely upon the promises of God. He's promised to supply our needs. This is another reason why, as a church, that we really want our missionaries, we want our missionaries to be one thing when they go to the field, and that is to spread the gospel. If they want to feed or do medicine or do those other things, those all should be secondary. Because my God says He'll supply the need of a person who is saved. So therefore, you went unto the Lord, He said, to supply their needs. They may use us to do it sometimes, but He'll supply their needs. God promises to supply our needs. That this is not just our physical needs, but our spiritual needs. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm thankful that I know the Lord tonight. I don't know where I'd be without Him. I don't know where my marriage would be without Him. I don't know where. Man, I'm so glad I know the Lord tonight. I'm glad He supplies my physical, my spiritual needs, and He supplies my relational needs. Some of you are going to have some relational needs the next few days. There's going to be some relational needs. You're going to go into that home, and there's sometimes conflicts in families, and I'm being serious now. God said He'd supply that need for you. You know, that one individual that gets on your nerves, or that family member who has crossed you or done something mean to you or whatever the case is, you can forgive them. God said He'd supply your need. And your need of forgiveness will be supplied. Your emotional needs will be supplied. Your relational needs will be supplied. If you'll simply ask Him. You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't know what's going on to my family." Man, I know a lot of what's going on, and I'm telling you, God said He'd supply that need. Be kind one to another. I'm talking about the church, but we can be kind to our kinfolks too, right? Even though sometimes they don't deserve it. Be kind. That's selflessness. That's following in the paths of Jesus. Following in His steps. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, has promised to supply our needs. And I said emotional. He does supply our emotional needs. I think about when you get in a position where you seem like all is hopeless and all is lost. And despair sets in. And discouragement sets in. And your emotions are just shredded. Can I tell you, you ought to go to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, I need something here." And He'll supply those emotional needs you have. Man, we get stressed out over the holidays and over Christmas time. Boy, let us rely upon the Lord. Supply those emotional needs. Now I'm sounding like Joel Osteen, but it's true. He will supply those emotional needs. Maybe sometimes we don't think of it in that way. But when you're stressed out in the kitchen or you're stressed out in the living room, whatever the case is during this time, remember, don't lose your cool. God will supply your emotional needs because you're supposed to be a testimony to those people around you. And that lost aunt or that lost uncle that is lost, you're supposed to be a testimony to them. And it won't do you any good to be frazzled emotionally and to be pessimistic and discouraged and distressed and down. Man, let's get around our kinfolks that are lost and be upbeat. Amen? We ought to put out an effort. It takes effort sometimes. and rely upon the Lord to supply those emotional needs. Some of you are looking at me like, you're right, preacher. I am right. Some of you need it. Listen, you've got to approach it that way. That God is not only supplying your physical needs, but He's supplying those other needs you have. Every need you have, He said He'd supply it. And I haven't covered them all. He'll supply every need that you have. He supplies the raven with food. If He'll supply an unclean bird with food, He'll supply your needs. I was just looking up some verses today on Thanksgiving and thanks. You know, when Daniel, there in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's enemies began to put hatch a plan to get Daniel in trouble. And so they went to the king and said, King, hey, man, you're the greatest guy in the world. You're the best king. You're an awesome king. You know what? Everybody ought to serve you. You ought to outlaw our people to serve other gods, and they ought to only serve you. And the king made the decree. They knowingly did that because Daniel prayed there in his home 3 times a day. And the Bible says that Daniel didn't listen, didn't follow that command. And he went to his window as he did 3 times a day, as he's done for years and years. And the Bible says he kneeled down to give. I didn't notice that before. It says he knelt down to give thanks, as he had always done. It used that term. Well, let's be reminded, you think about the sacrifice that Daniel made for that, and they threw him in the den of lions after that, and God miraculously shut the lion's mouth, and what a great providential miracle God did for Daniel. But Daniel stood against the king. He stood against his enemies. He stood for right and what was right, and the Bible says he simply knelt and gave thanks. And let's be reminded that we ought to kneel and give thanks during this time. We ought to give thanks every day. But be reminded again during this time that we ought to give thanks in all things. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And I'm telling you, if you're discouraged tonight, if you're distressed and down, I know it sounds silly, but go home and just begin to count the things that God has done for you. Most of you drove a car here tonight. Most of you are going back to home tonight. Most of you at least got a half a cup of milk in the refrigerator and some Frosted Flakes or maybe a Pop-Tart. All of us need to go home and just count some blessings. Absolutely. And then we need to go home and think about the valleys as well. I do believe, there's a biblical principle behind it, that many times God continues to send us through valleys because we're ungrateful, because we don't learn our lesson. Well, sometimes it would be good just to sit down and say, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. I praise you for what you're doing in my life, good or bad. Lord, help me, teach me through this what you would have me to learn. Colossians chapter 3, and boy, I'm telling you, you could preach on Thanksgiving. There are just, literally 100 verses on it. And you think about the various verses. One of the ones I came across was Colossians 3:15. And it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And notice this, the way it's phrased here. And be ye thankful. I step back a little bit and say, that's a command. I mean, we already said in the last days, perilous times shall come, disastrous times, distressing times will come. And it says one of the characteristics, one of the things that we'll notice in the last days is people will be unthankful. And it puts it in that category with all those other really terrible things. Blasphemy. Pride. Lovers of their own selves. I mean, look at the list that goes in there. So, what we have to understand is, being unthankful is a sin. Colossians says, be ye thankful. So, if it's a command, when you read your Bible, you're supposed to be looking for commands from the Lord and commands from the Bible that we ought to keep. The Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Here's a commandment. Be ye thankful. And when we're not thankful, when we are ungrateful, when we are not appreciative, that is definitely and absolutely a sin in our life. And all of us from time to time do it. Some of us more than others. And what I'm saying tonight is, maybe you need to look back and just count your blessings. And thank God for all that He's done in your life. What a great God we have who cares for us, who's our shepherd. In the Old Testament, they gave thanksgiving offerings or free will offerings. The greatest offering that you can give, the greatest thanksgiving you can give, is to count your blessings to the Lord tonight. And count your valleys as well. Say, Lord, I know You're in control. Thank You. Thank You for what You're doing in my life, good or bad. And You'll receive a blessing for it. Does anyone real quickly just like to stand up and just give a testimony? When I was a kid, we had testimony night at least 2 or 3 times a year. I don't know, as the church grows, maybe this will be something of the past. But I just enjoy it. And just a minute or two now, nothing long. Don't start preaching. Go ahead, Miss Henderson. Amen. I'm telling you, there's always a light or a positive or something to be thankful in every situation. Absolutely. Anyone else quickly? Miletta? Some of you don't know the whole story. Brother Latta actually resigned from his pastoral position 6 months ago, whenever it was, knowing that God was leading him a different direction. And he was literally on the staff as a maintenance man the last 3 or 4 months, wasn't it? And also a very low-paying job as well. But God had a plan and purpose, and we're so glad you're here. We're thankful for you being here, you and Miss Julie. Brother Jerry? Yeah, I like that. Yeah, we're not lucky, we're blessed. You know, and we find ourselves sometimes saying, "Boy, that's a lucky situation." No, we're blessed, by far blessed. Brother DeVore? Amen. Nothing small, brother. Nothing small. Brother Spence? Amen. Amen. What a work of grace to have Brother Spence here tonight. And what a work of the Lord. What a great victory. And, boy, we're praying for you, Brother Spence. And I want to encourage you. Brother Bobby? Brother Bobby. Miss Bobby. What a blessing both of you guys are. Blessing, thankful. Miss Bobby had throat cancer. God had pulled her through, and that's why she walks around here with a bottle of water, you know. By the way, all you guys that are used to drinking in the auditorium, and we put carpet in the other one, it's going to be a little more difficult. But Miss Bobby and Miss Leland, Brother Leland, both have had throat cancer, and literally they don't make saliva, and both of them have to keep a water bottle on them. And boy, God pulled Leland through. I'm just, what a work of grace, you know, for Leland being here. And just the various other people we could point out, say, you know, what God did here and what God did there. So thankful for the great God we have. What a mighty God we serve. Miss Wildman? Amen. Amen. Yeah, what a blessing to be a part of this church and this church family. Absolutely. And we think about Morgan and God's blessings there and God's direction and guidance and Miss Mary Hokett. I mean, we could go on and on of the blessings of the Lord and what He's done in the lives of many of our church members. Amen. All right, let's all stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. Hymn 161, Softly and Tenderly. I don't know, or whatever he had picked out. Let's do that. Let's do Just As I Am, hymn 167.